Well, fuck you guys.
It is from the BallerLifestyle.com. It is the one and only Baller Lifestyle podcast. I am, as always, your host. My name is Brian Beckner. I am very excited to be joining you. I'm very excited to be in your ears right now, whether you're mowing the lawn or driving your car, or sitting at your desk. How do you guys get your podcasts? There's a topic. I'm not really interested, but I'm just stoked that you, of all your entertainment choices, you choose us to be part of your week. Episode 134 of the show. I would like it if you would listen to this show and then reach out to me with your thoughts. You can do that via email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can do that via voicemail. We have an old friend on voicemail today, 949-464-TBLS. As always, I cannot recommend enough to you. Oftentimes, we like to tell you about good entertainment on the show. We'll tell you to go see a movie or watch a show or read a book. These are all things that I recommend. I cannot recommend for your entertainment enough the Baller Lifestyle Facebook page. Go there, the Baller Lifestyle podcast on Facebook. Go there, like our page, get all of our updates there. And of course, Patreon.com. Go to Patreon.com/TheBallerLifestyle and contribute to the show. Throw us a couple of bucks, a buck a show. What if you gave us a dollar a show? Would you ever notice it that it was gone? You wouldn't. You wouldn't even notice it. What if you gave us $2 a show? You probably wouldn't notice that either. Maybe $5. I don't know. Whatever you feel comfortable contributing, please do so at patreon.com/TheBallerLifestyle. Joining me now, as always, everyone loves him. He's from Hoboken. He's a terp. Of course, I'm talking about Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing very well now that college football is back. It's fucking pretty great. It's great. I was reading this afternoon or this morning, and I know we're not going to talk about it in depth on the show, but the people in Nairobi forgot to put up the electric fence, and so lions are just escaping the national park and heading to the suburbs. And I just wanted to confirm.
Scary.
I'm not about that action. I'm not.
Also, Nairobi, that's like supposedly like the safe part of Africa.
Right. That's like, where people go to go on like nice safaris, yes. Like luxury. And like I read one part of the story, some poor guy has, you know, some sort of sheep farm or something.
Yeah.
100 sheep in one night, one lion took care of it. 100. Well, I mean, that's a greedy lion.
Yeah.
And those poor sheep just probably are just real dumb. Just didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know what we need? We need that fucking dentist from Minnesota.
That's right. Send him in there. Tell him to go, or the Trump boys.
Yes. Donald, Eric.
Yeah, those two guys posing with fucking elephant trunks.
Yes, get the Trumps over there, or the whoever murdered Cecil. It's the Cecil murderer. Get him over there. Do something.
Even throw the zookeeper in Cincinnati in there, too. Just get the guy who shot Harambe. Yes.
R.I.P. Harambe. I gotta be honest. I'm not really down with, like, any kind of internet meme ever. Like, I'm just not. It just does not land on me. Right. But I'm still sort of enjoying random rip Harambes where they, like, injected where they shouldn't be.
Maybe about 2 weeks ago, I read something that, like, the Cincinnati Zoo is just, their Twitter account is so fed up with people responding to everything they try to do with RIP Harambe. And, like, I think they had a couple accounts, and one of them is already shut down. Maybe they still have a Facebook page, but, like, they just can't get away from Harambe.
It's like, it's a bummer, but it's also hilarious. Like,
Harambe, or like they'll just say stuff like, oh, look how cute these seals are at feeding time, and then somebody will respond like, I bet Harambe would have liked to be fed right now. Like, just shit like that.
It's so funny. So funny. It's so awful and it's so hilarious. And something's happened to me. And last week when we did the show, I was dealing with a severe case of jet lag. And I think my circadian rhythms have sort of evened themselves out later.
You know, the old wives' tale, which there's probably some truth to it, is the day per hour.
Oh, is that how it works?
Like that's how, until you're feeling tip top.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm still not 100, but I was like 13 time zones away. So that would make sense.
Yeah,
but
even London for me, like,
yeah,
it takes me like 3 days to get over the 5 hour difference. Like it's nothing like dramatic. It's not like you that night is day and day is night.
Right,
like that's,
right.
That's fucking dramatic. But like I would peter out 2 hours before I normally would.
Totally. Yeah. It's a shitty feeling. But something else has happened to me, Ed. And this is a brand new phenomenon.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's jet lag or travel related or what, but I'm one of these guys. I have pride myself on the fact that I sleep through the night. I do not get up in the night to urinate.
Uh-oh.
And I drink a lot of water. I think I would put myself in the top 10% of water drinkers. I have a big jug that
Same.
I keep on my desk at all times. When I go out, I like to have water with me. I'm always around water. I'm always taking a sip of water. I'm a fucking water guy. I'm a water drinker.
It's an easy way to cut back on eating.
It's true. Number one.
Snacking. Yes. Just, you know.
Number one fat loss tool is water. Drink water. It's actually, that's good advice from Ed. So nothing's really changed in my routine. All of a sudden, the other night, and a lot of times, like maybe around, you know, a couple hours before I wake up, I'll feel it in my sleep where I gotta pee, but it's not a big deal. I can just wrench it off and I'm fine till I wake up and do that one big one in the morning. The other night, I don't know what time, I didn't look at the clock, but I woke up in the middle of the night. And there was no holding back. I had to go take a leak. And now I didn't go in and sit down like a lot of you guys that have reached out to the show in the past. I didn't do anything crazy like that.
No.
But I went in and had a piss. And then Ed.
What?
Later, before it was time to wake up, before the sun had risen, I went in there and took a second during the night piss. Two in one night, and that was 3 nights ago. And then the subsequent 2 nights since, I've gone one time each in the night.
Shit. I've sort of already crossed that barrier. For me, I drink a lot of water.
Yes,
but and I don't know if it's just in my head, but
right.
When I go out boozing, I sometimes have that 5 a.m.
Yeah, me too. I have that too, but I haven't been drinking.
Yeah, I don't know what to. That's problematic. And my problem is if I wake up a little too close, like I can't. My mind starts going at if I was planning on sleeping till 7, and I'm up at 6, I'm up. I can't go back to sleep. So those are the ones that suck when it's like Saturday morning and I'm up at 6 for no reason.
I have that too, and a lot. I've been really trying to force myself to sleep in on the weekends. So I've, and this is probably something you're going to make fun of me for, I have adopted the eye mask.
I mean, I can't. I know people have issues like they need complete darkness, and I don't really give a shit about that. So I'm not going to make fun of you. I can't imagine. I think I tried it like when I was really just struggling on a red eye and I knew I had to get some sleep. But to me, like, it was just annoying as shit. I couldn't get over having it on. I don't wear glasses.
Yeah.
Having things on my face, it would annoy me.
I've gotten used to it. I mean, the ideal situation is really being at, like, you go to that hotel room where you can just fucking block out the sun completely. Like, that's the ideal situation. But at home, you know, that on the weekends, I want to sleep a little bit later, and that sun starts creeping in through the windows. It wakes me up. So I've been doing the eye mask.
The missus is like that. I can fall asleep with the lights on. So if I go to bed before her, I'll just go to sleep. I don't care.
It's, you know, it's my sleep is, it gets harder and harder to sleep as I get older. And now I'm pissing in the middle of the night. It's
over. You're going through the change.
Yeah, I am. I'm going through male menopause over here. It's bullshit. Ed, we got some emails, some voicemails to respond to. Let's start with a voicemail.
Oh boy.
It's our old friend, Kyle and Scotty, and Kyle, he's from Wisconsin. He has an accent, and he likes nothing more. Ed really took me to task last week for a lot of things I do that he does not approve of. I wear several rings on my fingers. I go shirtless places where I should not be shirtless. A lot of things, a lot of habits I have, Ed does not agree with, and Kyle and Scotty took that as a green light to light me up for a few things himself. Let's see what our boy, one of our all-time favorites, Kyle and Scotty, has to say this week about your boy Brian Beckner.
Hey guys, what's up? Kyle and Scotty here. Hey, Ed, thank you so much for finally busting Brian's balls. Jesus Christ. He keeps calling his podcast quote-unquote federal, and he's far from it. And don't forget about his white fucking pants and his goddamn flip-flops that he calls goddamn flippies. Brian, man the fuck up. You're disappointing us. Well, fuck you guys.
Okay, well.
Wow. Well, let me just predict. I don't know. I didn't see the timestamp on this. I'm guessing this was a little bit after his Badgers knocked off LSU and Lambeau. That's what I'm guessing. Because it seems like maybe there was some marinating going on before that call.
Kyle and Scotty has made it known that he enjoys a few PBRs at the bar.
That's right. He gets into arguments with his bird and then goes to get some PBRs.
Right. He does not. A couple more things that we can add to the list of things. Well, one, I call my show hetero, or as he calls it, hetero. But I'm clearly not. And then I also wear white jeans and flip flops, which are clearly some major indicators of my non-heterosity.
Well, I'm going to come to your defense, and also I probably will be underhanded in some way. But I think, you know, I would say Brian's charm is his insistence on being the arbiter of cool.
That's right.
When he's not. And what? I've said this before. And about myself, too. Nobody is cool. No adult male trying to be cool is cool. Maybe Bill Murray is like the only cool person out there. But trying to be cool is the least cool thing. Like, you're an adult and you're still trying to impress somebody. Like, nobody's cool. There's no guy that's cool. There's not. And like, you think about, like, I was thinking about, like, being in love. Anytime somebody's in love, like, love is very cool. But being in love is uncool, the way people act towards each other. Like, it's just in life. There's no such thing as cool. That's like shit that people aspire to be when they don't get it. Like, but right. When you're an adult, you should just, you know, like, be into whatever you're into. Like,
yes.
To me, unless you're into Coldplay, that's pretty fucking uncool. Or Dave Matthews. Yeah,
yes. Well, Dave Matthews, number one, right, even right. Over Coldplay.
Yo, over Coldplay.
Yes. Well, definitely you're on to something there, because the number one indicator of not being cool is any sign of any attempt at anything.
Right.
Like, cool is just something that you are.
Right.
If you are ever trying to do anything at all, then you're automatically not cool.
That's right. That's right. So why bother? Right? Nobody's of course. Listen, you with the rings and all the other stuff. you are just a hair away from being the guy with a boa constrictor around his neck. Python around his neck.
Well, I would have to get a ponytail before I could do that.
Listen, I wouldn't put it past you.
Next.
I'm not, next again, I never, ever claim to be cool. I am not cool. Right. I'm saying right. Nobody is cool except for maybe Bill Murray.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I can't disagree. Okay. Let's read some emails. Uh-huh. First email. I don't know what the segment is called, but it has to do with things that get on our nerves. Mine is people who use the terms deliciousness Ooh. Or goodness, i.e. cheesy goodness or garden deliciousness. Usually, these terms pop up on Facebook/Instagram posts accompanied by a food item. The worst posts.
Yes.
That is from our good buddy Pete Shalitsky. I would agree with it. This is something broad say, though. This is not these aren't men's words.
No, certainly not. But they're shitty when they come from women, too. Those words, yeah. They're stupid words. You know what's also stupid? When shitty restaurants call the meal before the food before the main course appetizers.
That is the
douche chill word of all time.
Yes, I agree. Any kind of like made up word, right. Especially like marketing words like that are the worst.
Yeah, appetizers is the perfectly appropriate word for that.
Yeah.
Teasers.
Yeah, it's an Get appetizer. The fuck out of here. Yeah. Starters.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another one. This one is regarding, this one, I might have to go like a long distance to get this one understood, but here goes. Brian and Ed, after ICP, we can assume that ICP is a ubiquitous term, right? Everyone knows who ICP is, right?
Ed? Juggalos,
Insane Clown Posse, that's right.
Yeah.
After ICP came out professing that magnets are magic and that they are evangelical Christians, I would have thought the Juggalo well would have dried up. I guess not. Then he relays a story about a Juggalo in Wisconsin who hosted a blood drinking ritual cut off a woman's finger and has been thus arrested and charged. So he wants to know, what's the worst thing about this story? One, having the wound of your voluntarily severed pinky closed with a blowtorch? That's pretty badass. I mean, that's a very juggalo thing to
right,
do.
That's like, actually a badass. The problem is, if your pinky is exposed, having another juggalo interfering that's with true. Your blood. I don't want anyone near my blood.
You know, it's like back in the old days, they would, you know, in the old West, they'd heat up a knife.
Right, right.
And they'd sear closed a bullet wound. You know, the bullet just went right through. Let's just sear it closed so it doesn't get sepsis.
You'd have the cook give you a wooden spoon to bite on, and then they'd start working on your arm.
Just a big swag of whiskey and then bite down, and then they go to work. B, being a presumably white rapper named Bloody Ruckus. His real name is Preston. I can't blame him. That is a pretty bad, but he got to pick his own name. So presumably Preston prefers being called Bloody Ruckus, right?
Yeah, that's a bad one. But yeah, I don't blame him for searching for a new name, but he kind of settled on a pretty shitty one. But Preston's crummy.
Yeah, those are both bad. And three, being a member of the Green Bay Juggalos. Ugh. I can't think of a better party to attend. Keep it baller. That's from Ben906. I mean, I feel like all Juggalo-ing is happening in the Midwest. I know they have their big gathering of the Juggalos.
It's Columbus?
In Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
No, it might be Ohio. It's one of those. Maybe it's both. I'm not sure. But I know that ICP is from Detroit. And these guys... These guys have got it figured out. Let's be honest, Ed.
It's true. They don't have any discernible talent.
No, they have no talent. They paint their faces. They act hard. They're probably not hard.
They're like the Kiss of rap, I guess. Right?
Yeah, you would never recognize them in public.
But I don't even know a song of theirs.
Of course, but that's.
But you know how like people will bag on, you know, a million different groups, but you can still think of like one thing they did. Like, right. I could tell you what, I don't know. I can think of a Dave Matthews song. Like, I can think of a song that's shitty. Like, of a band that's shitty. Or sure. Fred Durst or something. The Nookie or something.
Limp Bizkit.
But, like, but I really don't know if I've ever heard a 19 Clown Posse song.
No, I don't. But that's the point. This is my argument for the genius of the Insane Clown Posse. Because they're not, they've never topped the charts. They don't probably sell that many albums, but their fans are rabid. They have inspired a movement among, they said, we want to appeal to losers. And they got all these losers together, and these losers have these big events, and they do all, they buy their shirts, they get tattoos. They are devoted. Yeah, they are evangelists for the ICP. And these guys, without getting on the radio or doing anything really, are, I bet you they got big houses. I bet you Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J, the Insane Clown Posse, I bet they got some big ass fucking houses.
Yeah, and they, and it's the smart thing, like you were saying, it's, I bet all these people are ugly, right? It's people who want to be in face paint, right?
Yes.
So it's like they found a way to tap into just the uglies.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's kind of like, I hate to say this, but it's sort of like the punks in the 70s, where these are people that have nowhere else to belong. And they find a home in this Insane Clown Posse. The point is that if there was like a podcast equivalent to the Insane Clown Posse, where maybe like millions of people got really rabid about a certain podcast and were like, we want a podcast festival where the podcasters come out and do podcasting on stage and we buy shirts of the podcasters and like that. Like if there was a podcast version of the Juggalo movement, like I would be for that.
Sure.
I would support that.
Well,
and I would support
speak to the uglies.
Right. I would support it if listeners of this podcast found like 50,000 friends each.
Yeah.
They wanted to tell about it.
Listen, we're great. Tell your friends.
Yeah, we're pretty funny. I wear white jeans and flippies. Okay, one more. And this is this guy. I mean, I hate to say it, but I love these emails. And
he's tapped into something.
He's tapped into something that amuses me. Welcome back, gentlemen. I would like to start off by giving an opinion on Kaepernick. I mostly agree with the statements you two have made. There's a rarity. But what really bothers me about it is that he has given an undefined time frame to continue this activity until an undefined group of people accomplish an undefined goal. If he can't determine some kind of concrete resolution or need, then all he is doing is complaining without any idea of a solution. It's not like he asked for specific legislation to pass or policy changes in some specific city. There's no way to know when he would be satisfied and start standing for the anthem, which, in my experience, means he will never be satisfied. So it's not even worth giving him any more attention. Well, I imagine we're not going to hear from him anytime soon.
Yeah, he's the backup quarterback. This is going to die down. But I agree with what he's saying. Like, it is annoying when somebody doesn't actually have a clear-cut plan. Like, there was a stretch in the late 19th century, early 20th century, where there were a bunch of anarchists, like, assassinating and blowing up cafes in Paris. And, like, anarchists don't have an end game. They just, like, they want to get the person out, but they don't really understand what happens next.
It was anarchists that shot that Archduke Ferdinand in Austria.
McKinley, he was shot by an anarchist. I remember there's a story where an anarchist wanted to blow up the Royal Greenwich Observatory, where like Greenwich Mean Time is kept. Like
the time.
But like the guy wanted to blow up time. Like what's the? And then instead he blew himself up. It blew up in his hand and in his stomach. But, like, there's no plan. So I understand. But the one thing about the Kaepernick story, and it is dying, he wanted a discussion on race. And it's happening. I mean, there's more discussion about him. But, like, he's getting that much. So it's something. And that's what he chooses to do. Fine. But what I didn't like was the cops writing a letter, the Santa Clara police writing a letter saying, well, as long, if you don't release him, we might not work your games. And right. It's like, what is it? Is this protect and serve our buddies? Like the people we like? Like, no. This is your job. Guys, right. Get the fuck to work. Yeah. Like, look, yes. You don't have to like Kaepernick. But if he acts out of line, you can do something. But like, hang on a second. That's not in your job description.
You talking about blowing up the Greenwich Mean Time?
Yeah.
That made me laugh because I saw a fact, and you probably already know this, that this – I follow like Mental Floss or something on Instagram. Okay. And every day it's like just like a weird like fact, random historical thing.
Love stuff like that.
And I saw that the Russian Olympic team was 12 days late to the 1908 Olympics because they were still using the Julian calendar instead of the Gregorian calendar.
I didn't know that specific story, but I remember like reading that like at one point, like different there was like I think I read a story where each nation adopted it in their own year, and like you know, in Italy it was like October 12th and then it was November 1st like the next day. Like there was a weird shift for like 20
so
years
weird.
Different countries were way off.
That's so weird.
It is weird.
Okay. Well, that's noted, right, Sabil?
Yeah.
He continues. Now it's time for the segment everybody has been waiting for, Daily's Choice.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I totally forgot, Ed?
What?
This writes a bill, and this writes a bill. He does parody songs, and he did one. He did an intro music for Daily's Choice.
What?
And I've only just remembered right now that he sent this to me like a month ago.
You got to add.
Writes a bill. It's in my email somewhere, but it might be easier if you send it to me again because I will for sure add it to when we do one of these segments.
This is amazing. My own song.
I totally forgot. These guys did. Writes a Bill and Cardinal Doug did a couple parody song for Travis Rogers, now defunct Yahoo talk show, and they were both pretty funny. So I haven't listened to the Daily's Choice. Yeah, I haven't listened to the theme music. I can't believe I completely forgot that till right now. Okay, it's time for the segment everybody's been waiting for, Daily's Choice. Quick update. Daily's Choice is a game we play where Ed has to choose. He walks up to a urinal. It's the middle urinal, and on either side of him is a celebrity, and he only has a brief moment to look at one of their penises, and who does he choose? Okay, round one. Bob Costas versus Joe Buck.
I gotta say, I fucking detest both these guys.
Me too.
But I think it would make me profoundly sad if I found out that Joe Buck was packing heat.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to look just in case. I don't think he does, but it would hurt me to know that guy's got a monster dick.
So you would have to look at Joe Buck's then?
No, I would look at Costas because I know the guy exudes tiny penis.
Yeah.
He exudes, like, Napoleonic. Like everything about him, he's got
dyes that hair.
He's got the small dick. He has the extra long stories, so the camera stays on him a little long. Like this guy wants the attention because he's got a tiny wiener. I'm going with Costas because I just want confirmation, like more reasons to laugh at him. Like a couple of years ago, the Winter Olympics when he had the funk eye. Like this
great.
Guy's fucking ego. He wouldn't sit out a couple days and clean up.
That weird eye.
He's a fucking weirdo. I can't stand Costas.
And I like that the rumor was that he had gotten the weird eye from an emergency eye job. he needed to get those eyes tightened up so he didn't have wrinkles when he was on TV on the Olympics. I will say this, I would like to state unequivocally that I have no independent knowledge of this.
Okay.
I do not know this at all. This is a rumor I've heard, and it's probably not true.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumor is that Bob Costas is packing a hammer.
Really?
Big. Big dong on Bob Costas. Again, probably not true. Just speculation. I have no idea. But I've heard a rumor around the campfire that's what's going on.
But even if that is true, I'd be more okay. If I saw Joe Buck having a big dick, it would just confuse the hell out of me for years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look over. I just don't even want to know what that guy's doing. I need him to go away. I need him out of my life.
I agree. He the worst thing about Joe Buck is he thinks he's funny.
Yeah, when he had that horrible show on HBO, and he just got worked.
He thinks he's funny, and that's just the worst thing about him. Okay, round two. Schroeder versus Linus.
Schroeder definitely has the bigger dick. I'm looking at that one. He doesn't say much. He's very content.
Plays a piano.
Lucy Van Pelt is all over him. She knows. The rumor is out there.
Schroeder can't beat off the pussy fast enough. Like, this guy. The
girls are just hanging on. The guy's playing fucking old Beethoven tunes, and the girls can't get enough of him.
Yeah.
Linus, on the other hand. What the fuck was that religious speech at the end of Charlie Brown Christmas?
So weird.
It's a fucking huge bummer. Great Pumpkin. Like, he's a real zero. And he hangs out. His best friend's the town loser.
Right.
I mean, fuck that guy. I don't want anything to do with Linus.
Charlie Brown, he's a real bummer. And this Linus is even worse.
Yeah, he hangs on the bummer.
Yes.
But, like, he ruins Sally's Halloween.
Yes, the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, and then everybody's just, like, you know, joking around, like, making fun of Charlie Brown's shitty tree. And it was a shitty tree.
It was a crap tree.
And then he starts bringing out all this religious bullshit.
I don't like that Charlie Brown Christmas has made it, like, sort of cool. I mean, not cool, but people think it's cool to have a shit Christmas tree. Because they're like, oh, yeah, I got a Charlie Brown tree. Hey, that's not cool.
You know what's cool? A nice-looking Christmas tree.
Yeah, a nice, full Christmas tree.
Girthy.
Yeah. Thick.
Yeah.
Okay. Round three, final round. Since it's back to school time, Thornton Mellon versus Lou, the driver. And I just want to weigh in, and I say you cannot go wrong here, because I'm saying that both of these guys had fat hogs.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing about Rodney is he notoriously used to greet people backstage with the open robe.
I've heard that many times. He would always be in a robe and in his dressing room with it wide open.
When people tell stories, and I remember Jim Carrey talking about, like, you know, getting his start at, he was working at Dangerfields, and Rodney, like, called him back to give him career advice. And he's like, the dude was sitting with, like, his legs wide open. Yeah. And I'm just looking at his dong, and he's giving me, like, my first career advice as a stand up. The guy was just hanging out. Like, that guy must have had a glorious cock. I'm definitely looking at Rodney. Lou, he was cool in that movie. But sure. I really wanted to punch him in the face in Rocky.
Paulie, he was always fucking things up for Rocky. He had a good thing going.
How about when he threw the Rolex? Like, was that three or two? I think three. But he was, you know, jealous. He was playing the Rocky pinball machine, and he threw the Rolex, and... Hey, fuck you, Lou. And then he lost all their money to start the awful Rocky V.
Right. I didn't go that. I've only been up to Rocky IV. But he was just one of those bummer characters that always does stupid shit and that makes you mad at the movie. So fuck him.
Yeah.
And finally, he writes a bill, says, great to have you back. P.S. Brian, tell me something. When you're cleaning up your plate in the break room after a hearty portion of microwave sturgeon, how do you protect your rings? Do you lay them carefully on a paper towel on the counter? Or do you keep a satin bag in tow for that? That's a great question.
That is a good question.
I need to get hold of a satin bag. Thanks for the advice. That is from Rights of Bill. Great job, Rights of Bill. And either send me that music or I'll find it, because I'm a very busy guy. I've got lots of rings to polish. I have lots of white jeans to press. So sometimes I forget things, and it just occurred to me right now that there is a Daily's Choice theme song that I've forgotten. So please get that over to me straight away, and we will definitely play it. Ed, what is going on in the world? What's going on in the world of Northern New Jersey hoops?
Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, is not exactly known for its as a hoops power.
They had that female hoops team that Don Imus was a big fan of.
Yeah. You know, I am not offended by anything.
Yes.
I was offended by that when he said the nappy-headed hose. Not because of the racist stuff, because, like, whatever. He's a racist. He's a shithead. But what I was most offended is he's considered, like, has to have a comedy show.
I know.
And that is some of the least funny shit anyway. If you're going to say racist stuff, you can be funny and be racist. But you can't be less funny than Don Imus. That's what offends me. When somebody is I hate when people get laughs or credited as being funny when they're not even remotely
is
funny.
Is he still on there, Ed?
I think so, because I feel like I would have heard if he wasn't. But like, I don't know anyone that listens to Don.
I just remembered when he was on. He had like they would simulcast his show on MSNBC for a while.
He dressed like a fucking cowboy.
He dressed like a cowboy, and he mumbled it, and I was like, "What the fuck? I can't fucking understand what this guy is saying. Like, what?
Yeah.
Who's listening to this? The guy does not enunciate his words."
Yeah, I feel like there would have been, even if it's undeserved, there would have been some sort of grand farewell for him. But I really haven't thought about that guy since you brought it up, and then previously the Rutgers thing. So anyway, they're really shitty in hoops. They're trying to change that. And last week, the Rutgers basketball Twitter account sent out a tweet that said, "Cha-ching" with a few money bag emojis, and the image that accompanied it was of like a bunch of NBA players, and the statement $1.1 billion earned, total earnings by Rutgers staff coach players. And then you looked at the pictures, and they were entirely they were all UConn players, like Rip Hamilton and Ray Allen. Now,
how do they do that?
Well, their assistant coach used to be an assistant coach at UConn. So they're saying he recruited him. So, you know, because he knows that talent, then of course they sign with them. They're going to be NBA.
But that's quite a reach.
Yeah, considering Rutgers has had two players drafted in the NBA in the past quarter century with total career earnings at about $4.5 million, don't you think they should be pushing for a different recruiting strategy, like the Rick Pitino hooker for every official visit?
Yeah, exactly. Like proximity to New York. Like you don't have to go to class. There's a ton of talent.
Like Carl Anthony Towns, who was the number one pick, he was right out of Rutgers' backyard. Like they got to start playing dirty because there's tons of talent right here.
Yeah, like New York City, the basketball mecca, like St. John's. What's up with St. John's?
Rutgers, they suck too. And Syracuse, that like tries to call themselves the New York team.
Yeah.
They are nowhere close to New York City.
No, they're way upstate where it's boring.
Yeah, guys, you know, just get a cup and hoops can turn around in a hurry. Like football.
All you need is one guy.
Football, like you got to build a lot of shit. You got to build your lines and stuff. But hoops, I mean, if they got Carl Anthony Towns to stay, just give him, you know, or give his family a new home. And, like, really, sometimes the probation doesn't even hurt. Like, once you get that ball rolling, it's okay to take a hit every once in a while. Like, they need to do something. There's so much talent here. And they're fucking taking pictures of Ray Allen and saying, hey, come play for Rutgers.
I agree. They need their own World Wide West.
Yeah.
And you figure there'd be plenty of them there.
Yeah, there's tons of goons in New Jersey that'll do that. Of course.
Agreed. I always hate this, Ed, when people do stupid shit that they think is cool. For instance, climbing Mount Everest.
Oh. Yeah. Well, in June, Dinesh and Tarakeshwari Rathod were praised for being the first Indian couple to climb Mount Everest together. The couple claimed they put off having children until they achieved their lifelong goal of climbing the world's tallest mountain. They had a press conference and a lot of hoopla where they bragged about their great feat. But then people noticed things in their pictures, like in each picture they had different climbing equipment. And also nobody near Everest had ever seen them.
Right.
And then another Indian climber noticed that all the photos they were using were Photoshopped versions of his Everest climbs. The Nepalese Tourism Bureau discredited them, and the Rathods are now banned from the country for a decade. Now, the couple, who are both police officers, haven't shown up for work since the incident. Now, Brian, two questions. One, how much confidence do you have in Indian police? And two, considering they're being celebrated not for being the first Indian up Everest, because that had already happened long ago, but just the first Indian couple to climb Everest, isn't the bigger question, why did anyone show up at the press conference?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty weak accomplishment.
That's a very specific accomplishment. That's like me saying, I'm the first guy named Ed from Hoboken that went to the supermarket and emerged with carrots and a Pez dispenser today.
Pez dispenser, is it Star Wars?
My son loves Pez, and I saw there was like some Halloween one or something. I got it for him, and I went for carrots. But like, I was thinking as I left, I was like, I might be the only person to ever leave a supermarket with just these two items.
You didn't get homeless Hoboken Jesus? You didn't get him a beer?
I told you, I got him a second beer like this earlier this summer.
And he didn't say thanks.
No, and he gave me, he tried to wave me off at first. And I mean, fuck this dude. He's not deserving of another beer. He's not getting a third from me.
Yeah, I agree. He had his chance. This whole, like, if you're, I just saw Vladimir Putin, the Kremlin. They do this thing where he has these meetings, these like clandestine meetings, but they don't invite the press. They just afterward, they go, hey, Vladimir Putin had a meeting, and here's a picture of the meeting, and here's the date. And some Japanese reporter, like, got who covers the Kremlin for some Japanese outlet, was having a look at these pictures, and he's like, hold on a second. These are supposed to be different dates, but the papers in all of the meetings are in exactly the same place on the desk. And then he checked the shoes, and in two pictures he had the same shoes on, and one picture he had different shoes on. And so they determined that the pictures actually came from earlier dates than the Kremlin said. And the thinking is that they want Putin to look much more busy than he actually is, when really he's like fucking off and playing pinball and like going to the Black Sea,
riding shirtless.
And so they want to make it look like he's more busy. Now, one, this poor Japanese reporter is for sure going to get mysteriously disappeared because that's how Putin does people.
Now, yeah. Or he had some sort of bad food poisoning that kills him.
Yes, yes. He either gets gulagged or he gets the plutonium tea treatment, which RIP. Yeah. But the bigger point is you cannot fucking Photoshop things. People know. People will look at that shit and they will know. You will always get caught. You can't lie anymore, especially when it comes to the internet. I was reading about this.
Or you could lie. You could lie, like, I guess they could lie to their friends who, like, aren't really thinking about it. Like, just a couple.
Right.
But if don't hold a press. A don't hold a press conference.
Totally. Yes.
An idiot.
There's this, I was reading, I think it was in like Outdoor magazine. Sometimes they have these good, like, sort of long reads. Yeah. And there's this woman in Canada who's like this triathlete champion. She's an Iron Man champion. Right. She like won Iron Man Canada. And then in one race, she won her age group. But that little thing that you tie onto your shoelace, that the little chip that keeps your time.
Yeah.
Well, it somehow fell off. And she's like, I don't know, it fell off. And meanwhile, it's like impossible for those things to fall off. And then they saw that her chip had fallen off in a bunch of other races too. Meanwhile, that's impossible. And it turns out this broad was totally juicing her times and like cutting all these races just to keep herself like a top racer. But of course, she got caught. If you cheat, you're going to get caught eventually. So just don't cheat.
There was a guy in the 1904 Olympics in the marathon, and he hitched a ride for 17 of them.
That's right.
And he got caught. If you got caught in 1904, you're not pulling this shit off in 2016.
Shoes were barely invented. I bet half the racers ran barefoot.
They were all like Zola Budd. Well, I will just one little added thing. I will sympathize with the Indian guy who had his picture stolen because one of Brian's friend's kids used my Instagram post.
That's
and
right.
Got like way more likes than me.
Way
and
more.
And claimed like he was at the airport, at the Austin, Texas airport that I was. I was like, what the? I mean, that's a weird thing to, I mean, he's co-opting my life.
He used also your same caption, but he just tweaked it a little bit to sound like a kid.
Right. And I get a text from you, like, when I get off the plane, you're like, hey, dude, my buddy's son is taking your Instagram post and saying it's his.
Yours had, like, 40 likes, and his had, like, 240 likes.
Keep up with those high school kids.
Yes, he was doing way better with your shit. Ed, you know who doesn't cheat.
Who?
Herman Marshall Whiskey.
Oh,
not a week goes by that I don't receive a tweet or an email from somebody in the Republic of Texas enjoying Herman Marshall Whiskey. Ed, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast loves Herman Marshall Whiskey. I can remember when Texas's own Tito's Vodka was a niche American vodka. I don't know how to pronounce that word, by the way. Niche or niche. Hold on, let me finish the commercial. Now, anywhere I order a Bloody Mary, it's the first vodka they offer me. Herman Marshall is ready to be the Tito's of whiskey. Those 90 to 100 degree days in Texas, while not Ed Daly's favorite, are the favorite of your favorite whiskey because they increase barrel pressure to push whiskey into and out of the charred wood barrels more often, making your glass of Texas bourbon smoother and more flavorful. See for yourself and grab a bottle of their Texas bourbon, rye, single malt, or Temptress. Next time you're at a local bar, restaurant, or spirits retailer, Herman Marshall Whiskey. Smooth Texas whiskey.
I really enjoyed some Herman Marshall this weekend because
did you?
When I get back from London, I really just try to go monk mode.
Yeah, and, I know that about you.
And I just, you know, cut the beer. I can drop, you know, 15 pounds. It's because I have that to lose.
Yes.
But I do that, and then like, you know, until about Halloween, then I'll have some beers again. But this was the opening of college football, and it was Sunday night. Was the Notre Dame Texas?
Yeah, great game.
And I was like, you know what? I'd like to have a little, you know, a little cocktail, something.
Yeah.
And then I thought our good friend Mike hooked me up.
That's right.
And I just enjoyed the hell out of that. I take it neat.
Same.
I saw your boy, Travis. He was posting something of an ice cube with his drink. I'm a neat guy.
Same here. I'm right there with you. I just want to taste the booze. I don't want it to get injured with any ice.
And I don't want the ice cube banging against my mouth as I drink. I'm cool with just going neat. But goddamn, that hit the spot.
Delightful. I've gone monk mode because I've got a little loose over the summer and I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of drying out a little bit, like focusing on health and nutrition right now. And so I've not had a drink in a while. And, you know, I got this bottle of Herman Marshall on my bar. It's the rye. It's just calling to me, Ed. So because I'm going to be like you, no beer, but I'm going to have a drink here and there. And you better believe that when I have my first drink, it's going to be from this bottle of Herman Marshall.
It's delightful. It pairs nicely with the football.
It absolutely. Did your Terps win?
They did, but they played Tomato Can. They played Howard.
Howard's not even D1.
I know. It's a garbage opponent. Like, and they were saying it in the broadcast. I watched like the first half until it was just out of hand. But they were saying they were 1-10. In FCS.
Yes, yeah.
Like one, they were shitty for an FCS
team. For their own level, yeah.
Yeah.
I was, I can't, I wasn't really watching, but I was keeping an eye on that Notre Dame Texas game, because that's one of those games where you just root for a Tomahawk missile to hit the stadium, because you know, you can't root for either of those sides. But I will admit, it is kind of nice to see Notre Dame lose.
It really was. And yeah. And although I didn't like seeing Bama win, but you know, USC took a huge hit this weekend.
Right.
And somebody else did too. Another blue blood. Oh, big game Bob.
Oh yeah. Well, he always does that.
And that Houston was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a nice little. I do like, though. I mean, it is nice to see big game Bob lose his opening game of the season when he's favored.
Right.
But I do kind of like it when he's like 9-0 and then has a game he should easily win against Oklahoma State.
Just don't fuck this one up,
Baylor. Right. You know, just to get him into the beast or whatever they call it now.
Just the playoffs.
The playoffs, yeah. And then he loses that. Like, I kind of like, so hopefully he puts a nice run together and puts himself on the verge and then pulls another big game Bob. Cause I enjoy watching that.
Yeah. Well, it's also terrific, terrific way to make money is putting money on his opponent in the bowl.
Right. Oh yeah. That's for sure. That's absolutely true.
They are not prepared. They are enjoying the holidays and not preparing for their January 1st opponent.
Totally. Ed.
Yo.
I was recently in Asia, and I can attest that sometimes the language barrier can be quite frustrating.
Yeah.
But, you know, for instance, me not getting my soy milk with my coffee because I couldn't communicate that to the waiter.
That might be a
properly.
Tough one to communicate.
Also, we did like a snorkeling trip. In one of those little, I don't know what they call them in Indonesia, but it was like a Ponga style boat, like one of those long boats with sort of outriggers, long skinny boat with like outriggers on the side and like a little outboard motor on it.
That must have been nice.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, because it was like 6 foot swells that day and my daughter was screaming in terror and I couldn't really. And so I was like trying to tell the captain I use the word captain loosely because the guy was no taller than my 9-year-old daughter. But I was like trying to say, hey, how about we, like, instead of the three locations we talked about going snorkeling, since the seas are a little heavy today, how about you just take me to one location and just have it be the one that's like the most protected from all this swell? But I was not able to communicate that to him because the only words in English he knew were the numbers 1, 2, and 3. And so it was like, that was a little bit frustrating. But again, it still doesn't compare to what happened to a 31-year-old Chinese backpacker who couldn't communicate in German. You see, Ed, he got his wallet jacked, probably by one of those notorious European pickpockets over there in Germany.
Yeah, yeah, they've got a full-scale operation over there.
And when he went to report it to the German authorities, because he didn't speak German or English, he ended up, and this will happen, he ended up inadvertently applying for asylum and was promptly shipped to a migrant hostel for 2 weeks. Whoops. The error was eventually discovered, and this may be the best part, when a Mandarin speaker was located at, you guessed it, a Chinese restaurant. From the story, in early July, the tourist arrived at the hostel on a bus with migrants from Dortmund. He was so different from the others. Very, very helpless, said a Red Cross worker. A translation app confirmed Mr. Schluterman's suspicions that the tourist had gotten entangled in the asylum system by mistake. It came up with phrases like, "I want to go on a trip abroad," he said. It emerged that the tourist had plans to visit Italy and France. The man from northern China had calmly allowed authorities to take away his passport and visa and take his fingerprints. He then had a medical check and was given the standard papers that migrants get on arrival in Germany. He had meals at the migrant hostel and received some spending money. This wasn't too bad, except that he's letting the Germans probably probe him and check out his junk and stuff. finally, his asylum application was stopped, and he was able to continue his European tour. The man did not get angry, but left Germany saying simply that he had imagined Europe to be quite different. Ed, considering Germany's historical treatment of non-Germans, was this Chinese backpacker lucky to escape with his life?
Yeah, I mean, that is the greatest treatment of somebody wandering into Germany by mistake. There have been a lot worse stories there, but it is amazing that nobody thought to translate when he, I mean, at least in the beginning, maybe his spirit was broken by day three, but the first couple of days he was probably like shouting like, no, I gotta get out of here.
Yes. Well, these days,
both spending money, it makes it seem like they took him, like they let him get out, but I guess because they had his passport.
He was confused, yeah. But,
I mean, what was he doing? He didn't like look up an embassy? He didn't.
Right.
The guy must have been, you know, he must have been slow. Yeah.
A little off. Yeah. Because these days people have apps. Like, you figure somebody would have had an app that could have translated. And it sounds like eventually they did get to that, but it took a couple of weeks. The Germans are very hospitable. They've turned things around over there.
Sure. They're the ones welcoming in the Syrian refugees. That's nobody right. else is. And they're like, yeah, we'll take you. We're cool. We're cool people.
Angela Merkel.
Don't listen to what everybody has been saying about us over the previous century. We are cool, go with the flow people. Even though Mein Kampf is like skyrocketing up the charts on the book sales. Like, apparently they was banned for a while, and then they put it out and immediately it hit number one.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I mean, those who don't learn their history's lessons or whatever are doomed to repeat them.
Yeah, that's right. Because they are well known for learning from their mistakes.
That's true.
I mean, World War I had been over for about 7.5 minutes, and they were fueling the tanks for World War II.
They got things going pretty quickly again.
Yeah.
Ed, sometimes we don't get the heroes we want. We just get the heroes we need. Take, for instance, 50-year-old homeless bro Tracy Briley. Who, when observed on the boardwalk in Sunset Beach, you guessed it, Florida, performing oral sex on a female homeless with his pants down and his penis exposed, told the Treasure Island PD, quote, he was an emergency responder and had to assist the female as it was his duty.
Well, I mean, he does. I'm looking at him. He does have bedroom eyes, which is quite ironic because he doesn't own a bedroom.
No, he doesn't. He hasn't been in a bedroom in quite a long time. Responding officers with the Treasure Island PD, however, did not apparently agree with Briley's assessment of the woman's condition and charged him with felony lewd and lascivious exhibition and trespassing. According to the police report, the witness and his 3-year-old son observed the act of, one of my favorite words, cunnilingus.
It is a great word.
Just one of the best words. Briley reportedly told police that as a homeless man, he, quote, had nowhere else to have sex except in public. He's kind of got a point there.
He's got a great point.
He's currently being held on $10,000 bail. But hopefully the judge goes easy on him. Ed, is this Tracy Briley guy, does he have a point? Two questions, though. A, should we erect tent cities across this great nation of ours specifically for the purposes of homeless fucking? And two, this is sort of a daily's choice, would you rather spend a week door busting in Fallujah with the 1st Ranger Battalion or go down on a homeless Floridian for 5 minutes?
I'll take Fallujah. There's a chance. Wow. There's a chance you get out alive. Wow. But you are never going to have a full night's sleep again if you go down on a homeless woman.
Guaranteed PTSD.
Even if you don't get any sort of disease. But the guy's got a point. Like, where is he supposed to go?
Yeah, where am I supposed to eat some pussy around here?
Did you say Treasure Island Police? I mean, yeah. What the fuck's that?
Right.
And are we to assume, I mean, did he do it in the middle of the afternoon? Or was a guy taking his 3-year-old son for like a midnight walk?
Yeah, I think it was like daytime. I think this is... I'm
aggressive.
I'm picturing it being around dusk. I feel like 3 p.m. was mentioned. I'm not sure, though.
But I guess when you're homeless, it's 5 o'clock somewhere strategy has kicked off years ago.
Yeah. We'll just ask the hobo and Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not fucking talking to that dude again. What an asshole.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got a point. He's got to go somewhere. And once you lose the possibility of sex ever happening, then there's nothing left.
That's right. I would agree.
Right?
With that.
Like if you're an old dude who can't have sex anymore, you're 78 years old, but you've got love and people in your life, that's one thing. But when you have nothing and no ability to have sex, this is all this guy's got. Let him do it. Somebody, the fucking first responder. He did what he had to do.
That's right. He got down there and went to work. I will say this. Like, being homeless has to be kind of liberating in the sense that you don't really have to put on airs.
You don't have to make excuses.
No. You're just putting it out there.
I obviously said no. I was invited to a wedding. I have a wedding this weekend to go to.
Oh my God.
But then I have another one in a month. Like, I've got so many goddamn cousins because I'm Irish.
Irish.
And I'm older than most of my cousins. They're all getting married now. And so I'm going to one and turning down two the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And Michelle's like, well, what excuse do we give? And I was like, just click no on the box. She's like, yeah, but you got to write something.
No, you don't.
Nah.
Sorry, we couldn't make it.
Yeah, can't make it. Booked. Even though you sent me a save the date card like 3 months ago.
Right.
No.
Out.
I'm booked.
I'm out on that. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But homeless never have to do that. They don't even have to think about it.
No.
They don't have to go to the post office. They don't have to do shit.
No, it's... Yeah, and when they want some pussy, they're like, hey, other homeless chick, like, how about I go down there and smack some box?
I don't care that it's 2:30 in the afternoon.
Right. Like, you just, you know, maybe she'd recently been bathed in the ocean or something.
And she's not like, oh, well, I can't because I got to go somewhere. No. You got nothing but time this afternoon. Let's do this.
I just hope, like, this guy's pretty hairy. I just hope that, I mean, I guess he's fine with, you know, the homeless probably keep it pretty retro down there.
Yeah, but looking at that beard... If you're homeless, the smell that accumulated in that long beard, and look at that big, healthy head of hair on that guy.
Yeah.
He's got a delightful mane.
He may have lost his dignity, his everything
else.
But
hang on a second.
Full head of hair, though.
He was exposing himself to the child.
Well,
he went down. No. The Fox 13 link that I'm looking at. It says, homeless man arrested for having sex on the beach, comma, exposing himself to the child.
Yeah, but he wasn't exposing, his dong was out, because I feel like he was priming the female.
He was priming.
Oh. Yeah, and he had his pants down, like he was ready to go, but he was just getting her to where she needed to be first.
Tracy Bradley is a considerate lover.
Yeah, he's a giver.
Good for him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't
tell that 3-year-old boy it's time to grow up.
Right, all charges dropped. Well, he didn't know what was going on. Like, the dad could have just kept right on moving, and it would not have been a thing.
Exactly. Fucking narc dad.
Yeah.
Just tell the kid he was picking out a splinter, and then move on.
Let's leave it at that. Joining us now, our very own pop culture correspondent. It feels like we're saying hello to an old friend. Of course, I'm talking about Fancy Sauce. She has not been here for a while. She is back to brief us. I've been having to try to brief the audience on pop culture by myself, and I'm not very good at it. And it was unfortunate that I had to step out of my comfort zone and look at TMZ and talk about Beyonce. But luckily, we have our very own pop culture correspondent, Kate McManus, has returned. Welcome back, Kate.
Hey, Kate.
Thank you. I miss you guys. Thanks for the welcome
back. Yeah, and yeah. The bigger problem is Brian can you know, at least fake it with the fancy pop. But like when I'm 50% contributing to it, it's problematic because I just don't know the people involved most of the time.
I know.
Yeah,
Ed
is not really well versed in the gossip world, so
he only knows about his two favorite celebs, Johnny Depp and Shia LaBeouf.
That's right. Well, I hope there's a story on one of them today.
I just saw the headline today of LaBeouf, and it was a pretty good one. I don't know if you're doing the story, but
he said, I do have some LaBeouf
news. I think it might have creeped in.
So hold off.
He just said he prefers Michael Bay over Spielberg. That was the headline I read. I was like, wow. Yeah,
that's taken from a Variety article that I was going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, before we get into that, we need an update. Kate, you are the one that keeps track of our Patreon subscribership.
And I'm a little bit late on thanking people via the website.
I just want people to know that this option is available to you. If you fast forward through the beginning part of the show or you come in late, you should know that if you are interested in making a financial contribution to the success of this show, short of our very own gathering of the Juggalos, we would also have to come up with a Juggalo-esque name for you guys. But until we get to that level, a way that you can contribute to the show is on patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. You can contribute as much or as little as you would like. And many, many, many of you have done that so far. And we'd like to shout out to the people that have contributed. Kate, who are the new contributors? What is going on with Patreon?
I don't think we have any new contributors.
Oh, wow. We haven't, you know, we've been sort of dark
down
for a while.
That's true. We have about 30 people that contribute to us on a monthly basis.
Outstanding.
Heroes.
Great people.
Heroes.
Yep. Yes. And a couple of people's cards were declined. So.
Oh, really? Well, that happens.
You need to sort that out.
That happens.
Hey, they're working their way through stuff.
Names. Yeah. Somebody used my credit card at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Brooklyn, New York, twice last week. And, of course, my credit card was still in my wallet. So I don't know. You know, shit happens.
That's a weird crime spree.
Yeah.
It really
right?
is.
Like,
yeah.
Shoot for the moon. Buy a fucking TV. Don't.
Well, I think they go and like test it. That's why like a lot of times you'll get it like a gas station or something. I feel like they do whatever they get. They buy the numbers off the Russian black market and then they go somewhere easy and they go, hey, let's try it here. And if it works, then we go on a spree. And mine was at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Brooklyn. And also if you're in Brooklyn, like anyone that's in the Buffalo Wild Wings in Brooklyn should be arrested. Why is there Buffalo Wild Wings in Brooklyn, New York?
Exactly. There are options. There are better options. Yeah.
There's a Buffalo Wild Wings in Orange County. There's a Buffalo Wild Wings a quarter mile from my house. I've never set foot inside of it.
That's true.
Because there's better options.
Mm-hmm. There are places in the country where there aren't better options, and so that's fine.
That's true.
But there are fucking a billion options in Brooklyn.
That's right. Unless, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings is interested in sponsoring the show, in which case...
Right. This is the only game in town.
I would love their wings.
The only wings we eat.
I'll be drinking
love the hell out of those
Light
wings.
And eating fucking wings every weekend.
Right. Brian, high fiving buddies. Eating wings.
Brian will get a Buffalo Hot Wings tattoo.
I'm not really into multiple flavors of wings either. I like buffalo flavor.
Me too.
Spicy. I like hot wings. That's all I want.
I don't. I get perturbed when it's an option to choose something but buffalo wings.
Agreed. Like what? Teriyaki.
No. Yeah, of course I'm taking the fucking buffalo wings. That's what it is.
Right.
A wing is buffalo. Okay, I'm glad we all agree. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture?
Last night was a Comedy Central roast of Rob Lowe.
And I'm not a big fan of these roasts, but I did. Either. I tuned into a little bit of this one, I will admit.
And Lowe wasn't an all-time great target because he generally seems like a nice guy and he has a pretty solid career. And so it's kind of hard to roast.
He's dreamy.
Also, he's fucking beautiful.
Him. He's gorgeous.
What would you say bad about the guy?
He is aging better than anyone in Hollywood.
The guy, I would argue, looks like he's 40 years old.
It really does.
He is. There's nothing bad you could. And also, he's a fantastic actor. Like he's solid in comedy. Hey, he can do
for that Liberace movie. He was good.
Yeah. Oh yes, he was the plastic surgeon. So good.
Yeah, seems likable.
Yes. Great guy.
So David Spade hosted the roast. He did a solid job as always. I'm a big Spade fan.
David Spade is funny.
He is. He's a delight.
Yep.
Ann Coulter was there.
That was very weird.
Not a delight.
Not delightful. I guess she's a friend of Rob Lowe's.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I would have to assume.
That would be the biggest strike against Rob Lowe.
Yeah, totally.
Or she's been invited for some unknown reason. Anyway, the whole thing really felt more like an Ann Coulter roast to me.
Yeah, well, she's an easy target because she's awful.
Just judging by her opener where she said, "Thank you, I want to welcome everybody to the Ann Coulter roast with Rob Lowe."
Yeah.
Setting herself up. And the problem was, they have great joke writers for all these guests, but she decided to write her own jokes, which I think was a big mistake.
Huge mistake. Obviously. Well, she was not going to get laughs no matter what.
No, the jokes about culture have been getting all the attention because they were the meanest. You know, there was other people to take down, but she got a lot of flack.
She would have been wise to make her first joke a very wicked, self-deprecating takedown of herself.
Right.
It was
just a little soft.
To get the crowd on her side.
Besides Lowe, Coulter, and MC David Spade, the roasters and roasties on the stage included Jeff Ross, Pete Davidson, Nikki Glaser, Jimmy Carr, Ralph Macchio, Peyton Manning, and Jewel.
It was very weird. It was a weird lineup.
Okay, so that's why I noticed, because I watched Ann Coulter's performance this morning. And I was wondering why last night you sent me a text talking about Ralph Macchio. I do have opinions on the Karate Kid, but I didn't really know why we were discussing how he looks.
He was on TV. Ralph Macchio
looks like a kid still.
Is 54, and he looks like
33, like,
yeah,
32.
Yeah, he looks like a young guy.
Yeah,
it's very weird. He's just one of those people. He has like that. That disease where you're like 9 years old, but you look like you're 80. He has that, but the opposite.
Well, Pete Davidson Benjamin looks Button. Like he's 14 as well.
Yeah. Oh, Pete Davidson. I didn't see his, I missed a lot of it.
I missed it too.
Nikki Glaser had some good jokes. So did Spade.
Pete Davidson. So there, here's some, Ann Coulter jokes. Davidson. Ann Coulter, if you're here, who's scaring crows away from your crops?
That's good.
That's an amazing joke.
Solid.
Nikki Glaser to Ann Coulter. The only person you'll ever make happy is the Mexican that digs your grave.
That's just so good. So good.
Rob Lowe. And you know what, Ann, after seeing your set tonight, I think we all witnessed the first bombing that you can't blame on a Muslim. and last
How week, about Jewel? Jewel had a good line.
She
said,
I
remember reading. She said, as a feminist, I'm not a big fan of some of the hurtful women terms used tonight. But as someone who hates Ann Coulter, I couldn't be happier.
So good.
When you're taking hits from Jewel, who's like not a comic in any way, like it's bad.
Also,
but I will say this for Ann Coulter. What a sexy voice.
Anyway, so.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to read a few more, but I think that's good.
Yeah, Ann Coulter has made her whole career on being repugnant. Like, that's her thing. So
she's like Skip Bayless,
she's sold
right?
A lot of books doing that.
Yeah, and it's worked for her. Good for her. Okay, Kate, what else?
All right, so Shia LaBeouf news. Shia's talking again, and as always, it is a treat. In a new cover story for Variety, the actor explains how tight-knit the cast of his new movie called American Honey became while filming. He says, "We bonded hard. You do whatever is required for it to be true, for it to be honest. I had to run with this group, sort of like a pimp." And apparently, under LaBeouf's tutelage, bonding apparently means getting copious tattoos. The actor got 12 new ones throughout filming, much to the chagrin of his continuity-loving director.
Chagrin?
What movie?
Chagrin.
It's called Honey Bear. What's it called? Honey.
American Honey.
American Honey.
So he got 12 across his arms, neck, and knees.
Neck.
Which now both display portraits of, oddly, Missy Elliott.
He's got Missy Elliott on both of his knees.
Was she in the movie?
No. He says, this is what he says about it. He goes, I don't love Missy Elliott. Like, I want to get two Missy Elliott tattoos, but you're in a tattoo parlor and, I don't know, peer pressure. What?
He's such a douche. He's so effective.
And then in the article, he also talks about the artistry of Michael Bay and his distaste for the movies he made with Steven Spielberg, who he says is less a director than a fucking company.
Oh, my God.
And how a weird postmodern fascination with the fuck-ups led to his drinking problem. How Suicide Squad got rewritten for Will Smith.
He's really going inside Hollywood.
Might have to read this, this piece.
Okay, what else, Kate?
This is my last story. I wish more celebs would do this. TMZ has obtained a scathing letter Britney Spears' lawyer wrote to the honchos at In Touch.
Yes.
One of the less reputable
That's right.
gossip
This
rags.
Isn't one of those high-end Us Weeklies.
Warning them not to publish a story they were pushing about Britney allegedly acting erratic at last month's MTV Video Music Awards and, quote, talking and laughing to herself and using a British accent. Apparently, this is just a shit-talking article. So, Brit's going to sue, and she's going to keep suing.
Yeah.
If they keep doing this.
The problem is it costs money to sue people, and that's why people don't do it.
She's got money, and I think this is something she wants to spend her money on. I feel like she's worked hard to turn her life around, and people just want to make up stuff about
herself. She looks pretty good.
She does look pretty good.
Yeah. Ed?
Were you saying that she's got like a whole Vegas thing, right? Yeah. Like she's making tons of money, even though it's it's been under the radar for a while.
It's like $100 million.
She just dropped a new album, which is charting pretty well too. So she's back on.
Yeah, I'm just looking up her Las Vegas Britney Spears Las Vegas contract. Extends residency for 2 years. $30 million for 2 more years.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not bad money.
I'm always fine with someone taking down these shit rags.
Me too. I wish more celebrities would do it.
Yeah, I agree.
But I guess it's just such a huge pain in the ass.
It is. It's expensive.
Like, right? Like, just, it must be just such an annoyance to have to deal with these companies.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. Excellent job.
I'm sure there's a lot more going on
out
there, but.
Well, the problem is a lot of these, like the Kardashians, they do a quid pro quo situation where they trade. They give a story to let them take a story.
Unless it's a really good story about the Kardashians, I'm probably not going to be talking about
that's
them.
That's true. I agree.
The one magazine that Michelle gets of these is People.
Mm-hmm.
And the last week, the cover was like, it's finally time to tell my story, to get my opportunity to air my story. Rob Kardashian on his love for Black China.
Oh, sweet.
I was thinking, like, what a genuine moment that, like, once again, this family, their only self-worth is if they're in the media giving a confession.
Well,
this is how I found love.
They have no talent, so this is their only way of making a living.
Right.
And they've... You know,
and with the rise of the internet, so came the rise of the
celebrity. They've sure done a good job at making a living out of doing it.
Okay, well, good for them. Yeah. Excellent job, everybody. Ed Daly, it's great to have the whole crew
good
back.
Good to be back.
Yeah, we're back. We're back.
The team's back together. Mm-hmm. Just our own little ICP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we've got to come to an agreement. There'll be no face paint once we get this thing going.
Whatever it takes. I'm going to be violent brush.
I mean, if it pays well enough, I suppose I could do some face
painting.
Of course,
I'll whore myself out.
Yeah.
Eddie 2 Dope. There's no third ICP member as far as I'm aware. But I'm sure.
I can't be in it.
Well, you could be in it.
The saddest name would be Violent Ed.
Yeah, Violent Ed. Eddie Two Dope.
What would my name be?
I don't know, because there's only two ICPs.
But don't, like you were saying, like I think all the women, all the people in the audience have their own like nickname.
Oh, probably.
So yeah. Because Stern one time sent somebody to interview and it was like, oh, my name is, you know, yeah. Mandy Candy or whatever. Oh, you know, like right. Everyone has a name.
Yeah, because they're all like sort of comic book characters with
right.
crazy hair and shit. Well, we should go to that next year.
We really yeah, should.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
Totally. Okay.
Such good music.
Excellent job all the way around. Thank you very much, Ed Daly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate McManus.
Thank you.
For Ed Daly. For Kate McManus. I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 134 of the Baller Lifestyle podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Thank you.